Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome to our show that's for you and about you, those that work so hard for your money, and you want your money to start working harder for you now. You want that freedom, cash flow, and prosperity today, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now, so you can live that life that you love with those that you love doing what you love. But most importantly, it's about creating a life of meaning and purpose and creating a ripple effect through the lives of others, because as you're blessed financially, you can do the same too. So guys, welcome to our show. Appreciate you tuning in, binging and loving and sharing and all this kind of stuff you guys do. And hey, appreciate the shout outs. Thank you for rating us on iTunes. Man, it's so awesome to see that number growing as well. So love seeing you guys. Thank you so much. As a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. And hey, subscribe to our YouTube channel, the Money Ripples with Chris Miles page. So check that out. Hey guys, quick shout out to our sponsor, American Homeowner Preservation. Hey guys, if you want to make a great rate of return with little money out of pocket, even as little as $100, and do it while helping other people as well, check these guys out. The website's fundingahp.com. The way they do it, they crowdfund money, people's money together to go and help essentially become the bank. They buy people's mortgages that are defaulting, people that are late on their mortgages. They help them refinance, stay in their home, and or sell their home so that they can be in a better financial position. And the cool thing is that they pay awesome returns and they pay it monthly. And like I said, you can invest with as little as $100. So check them out. Websites fundingahp.com. That's fundingahp.com. Check them out. So today, guys, I mentioned this last week and I was going to bring it up now, which is talking about running your own race. Now, some of you guys might or might not know, I'm actually a runner. I do a lot of running, more so than I used to do in the past. Funny story, I actually started doing that, like things like baseball and football. Stunk at it. It was horrible. So I switched over to running and I found out that long distance running was better. And, you know, and I was definitely not the kind of sprinter you would see. In fact, I was so bad at sprinting that when they would do the 40-yard dash for football practice, I would be one of the last guys come across the line. I would be coming in with the big fat linemen, right? The guys are just chugging along. They would run just as fast as I would because I just didn't have those quick, fast twitch muscles. Well, anyways, long story short, I found out that I had a better talent for going longer distance, more endurance-wise. Now, I'm not like this ultra marathoner or anything like that. You know, I started getting more into doing half marathons and full marathons. Halves are kind of like that sweet spot. I love them because they're short and quick and they're easy, right? Full marathons, those are definitely still a mental challenge for me. But anyways, like that's something that I've just loved, you know, and I compete with and I do and I strive to be better. And in fact, if you look at my life, many things I do with running is similar to how I treat a lot of things, similar how I treat my business. You know, many people may or may not know this. I'm kind of more quietly competitive, right? Like I like to be the best. I like to do the best, not to just beat people, but really to just know that I can push my own limits and just get better and better and be the best that I could be, fulfill my potential. And I've noticed that, you know, like in business, right? Like it drives me nuts when I see people taking advice that I know doesn't work, like the mainstream financial advice. It drives me nuts when people set up their whole life policies, even if it's an infinite banking policy, but it's not structured well so that they don't get the max ROI possible, which is why I created the whole max ROI infinite banking strategy, right? I mean, all those things, like I'm very kind of competitive. I want to be the best, but not in a scarcity way to crush people, but in a way that I could be the best that I could possibly be. By the way, if I don't have a talent in something and I know I'm not the best, I don't even try to be the best, right? But I know I got a chance, I do it. And running, at first, I didn't think I really had much of a chance. It was more just a hobby. But then I dropped like 30 pounds about four or five years ago. You know, when I got married to my new wife, Adise, you know, we were eating more organic and better foods and my weight just dropped. And as a direct result, yeah, I actually started running faster. And next thing I know, I'm starting to run and then I start placing in the top three in my age category. Now I try to get at least top three every single time for my age group. And sometimes I'm really trying to strive for number one in my age group. And I'm kind of competitive. I want to be the best, right? And understand that each of you are running your own race too. You know, you're running your race for wealth, for prosperity, for financial freedom, you know, and I know you're running other races too. You're running multiple races in your life right now. And when we're running this race of financial freedom and independence, right, it gets to be really tough because when the gamblers are winning, it makes you question whether what you're doing is right. I mean, how many of you guys have actually questioned saying, oh man, should I be more in the stock market right now? Should I have more money there? Or should I have left my money there if you got out of it, right? Are you thinking like, oh, should I have bought Bitcoin? Should I have bought it when it was down around, you know, 6,000 bucks, like when I bought it, right? Or even lower when it was like, when I first introduced Bitcoin, it was like a penny, right? A single freaking penny back in like 2009, or maybe it was a few pennies, but either way, it was less than a dollar. That's for sure. I could have been, yeah, multi-hundred millionaire, whatever, maybe more. I don't know. Depends on how much I would invest it, but I didn't do it, right? And it makes you question like, oh man, like, you know, am I doing the right thing? And it's really easy to do that. And I'll just tell you, the same principles that have applied to me with my running also applies in money, with money and with wealth, right? Do not sprint. It's always good to accelerate. It's good to push the limits, but don't expect that sprinters are going to win. Sprinters don't win in this race that we call wealth. You might win for a few years. You might be ahead and you might even think you're great. You might've got lucky, but understand that if you get lucky and that's how you built your wealth, even if you did it, you get it and you cashed out and you're like, hey, I've got all this cash. It's there. Not like, you know, Bitcoin, we're like, well, I've got lots of money in Bitcoin, but you haven't cashed it out. So you don't know if you'll have it tomorrow, right? Say you did cash out and you got tons of money. What makes you think you'll be able to do it again? Because if you just gamble and you just happen to roll sevens, right? That's not a winning strategy. That's not a way that you'll be able to make it. So if you try to do the same thing again and get lucky, you might lose everything, you know, or you might lose a big chunk of that money. And then where's that wealth? And trust me, I did it. You know, I tried to do that pre-recession, right? The last recession in 2006, 2007, I was thinking, hey, everything I seem to touch just turns to gold. Maybe I should go for home runs instead of base hits. So instead of focusing on cash flow and passive income, what did I do? I started trying to hit the home runs. I'm like, what if I buy this big property? If it appreciates 10%, I make way more than if this tiny property appreciates 10%. So instead of trying to get stable, regular cash flow, predictable cash flow every month, right, which gives you really the wealth that you need, the income you need, I flip-flop saying, hey, I could be negative cash flow on that property if it means I'm going to make big money on the end. Well, that was a recipe for disaster during the recession, right? Doing that and just doing other things. I just started gambling. You know, I started thinking like, maybe I can sprint there. Maybe I can get there faster. Maybe I can create money and wealth way, way faster than I was doing, than I should have done and on track for. I even bought a house that probably I should have bought a cheaper house than I did than at that time. So all those things, when you think about that, those are the things that I was trying to sprint. I was trying to get to wealth quickly. I was trying to do it quick. And there is no get rich quick scheme here, guys. It's not a get rich quick thing at all. Although the methods that we teach on this show will get you there much faster and much more certain than you probably would gambling it in the stock market, buying even index funds and things like that. Doesn't matter. You cannot be sprinting. You know, let me give you an example. The very first full marathon I didn't even think I was going to get in. It was one of those that you have to do a lottery, right? So you go in and you might not even make it in. The people that have been in for repeat years have higher odds of getting in. If you've gone to that marathon, it's the St. George Marathon down in Southern Utah, right? Kind of near where I see all the national parks and stuff. Well, that one, if you've been in there 10 years in a row, like my friend was, you get in automatically. Well, this is my first time trying. He said, hey, Chris, like, let's push the limits for you. Hey, let's get to go in for this lottery for the marathon. And I was like, sure, whatever. I probably won't get in anyways. I got in. Now understand that, again, I wasn't in the greatest shape. You know, I was running. I wasn't like in horrible, horrible shape, but I definitely wasn't super healthy. I was, by the time of that marathon, I just turned 30, you know, so I was relatively young, but I had a little bit of weight on me, not a lot, but a little bit. And I wasn't really in good condition. I mean, when we would practice running, I mean, I was lucky to run a 9 to a 10 minute mile, you know, for consistently. Well, marathon comes, right? And there's tons of people and it's before the sun comes up. So it's kind of dark and the gun goes off and we all just start running, you know, thousands of us that are running out there from the start line. Well, as I'm running down the start line, you know, I noticed that after a little while, I can't see my friend anymore because there was just so many people around us. You end up losing him and his brothers that were running with me. So I was assuming they got to be up ahead. So I'm like, I feel good. Let's just keep trucking. So I'm trucking along, right? I'm running my race. We're even going downhill a little bit, and that felt great. And 6 miles into that 26.2, I was doing awesome. 7 miles, doing great, although it's starting to go back uphill. And then it was like the endless uphill battle that I had. So I'm pushing, going up this uphill. I was shocked to see that this guy that looked like he should have been, had a bald shaved head. He probably weighed at least 250 pounds, looked like he should have been sitting on a Harley, not running a marathon. This guy goes running past me, going on this uphill. I'm thinking, how in the heck is this big guy beating me? Okay, well, I got to push it. Like, maybe there's something wrong here. So I just start pushing more, right? Well, about 10 miles, 11 miles into the race, I'm not even quite halfway. I'm gassed. Like, I'm exhausted, just flat out tired. And I'm thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do 26 miles of this, even though that was getting almost to the crest. You hit about the crest around mile, 18 to 20, kind of in that area. Well, about miles 10 or 11 in, I hear my voice being, I'm hearing my name being called. This voice calls out my name. And I see behind me, it's my friend, Jerry. And he's like, Chris, like, wow, we lost you. You just took off. And I didn't realize I'd actually booked way ahead of them. They were pacing themselves. I was going out like I was running maybe 10 miles, right? And by those 10 miles, I was pretty exhausted. So he and his brothers caught up to me. I try to keep up. And finally, about 14, about 13 miles in, I let, at the halfway point, the brothers go along. He stays back with me. But after a while, I just said, buddy, go ahead. Like, it's 15, 16 miles in. I got another 10 miles to go. I have to slow down. I can't keep going. Like, I was just flat out exhausted. By the way, I stopped listening to advice too. This also applies to money. I stopped listening. I didn't really listen to advice. He said, hey, when you get to a station, a water station, stop at them. Don't just drink water. Drink Gatorade, get that sugar levels, get that stuff in you. I didn't listen to any of that. I just went out for a run and I just drank water. Well, if you've ever run long distances, if you only drink water, your electrolytes get low, right? So you start crashing. My body started crashing. By the time I got to about mile 20, right? Mile 20 is about the crest, the top of the hill. I cramp up. My muscles seize on me. So my calves are the first thing I noticed. They start cramping. It was so bad, I fell to the ground and had to catch myself. Well, when I knelt down, my quadriceps, my thighs started cramping too. So the top of my legs are cramping. And so I would get off those, lean back, but then my calves would cramp again. And I'd lean forward. And so they cramped no matter which way I went. I was cramping. I had to limp my way off to a guardrail off the side of the road. And I was at the point of saying, wait a minute, I still got another 10K, another six and a half miles or so to go. I don't think I can do this. And I remember watching like some of the emergency vehicle vans that would go by, first aid vans that would pick runners up along the way in case they can't make it, so they could take them to the finish line. And I was at the point, I said, I'm going to quit. I think I want to quit. And as I'm sitting there and I'm just got my head on the guardrail, I'm just feeling so discouraged at the point of tears because it hurts so bad. I happen to look to my right and I see down the guardrail down there. I see about a dozen other runners doing the same thing as me. And they're just sitting there stretching their calves because their legs are shot too. And at that moment, it might've been the pain, the delirium, I don't know, but I just started laughing out loud. I just started busting out laughing. And I was just like, this is so analogous of life, right? This is such a great analogy for life because how many times we get to the point where you feel like you hit that barrier and you're going to quit. So finally I stretched for a little while. I said, all right, I'm not going to get the time I was hoping for, let's just finish this thing. Now, when I tried to start running again, I was walking and then I tried to run, I would cramp up. And so I couldn't do it. I found one way around it. I started running backwards. So I spent the next, out of those 6 miles, probably four of those six was me running backwards or turning around and basically walking forward or barely like a little shag. I was pretty much just a walk pace going forward. And I finally finished just shy of 5 hours by the time I got to the finish line. My friend thought I was in trouble. Like he didn't know what happened to me because he finished less than 4 hours. So they got across the finish line over an hour before I did, right? But I made it. And I learned valuable lessons there. Just like I learned valuable lessons in the last recession. Don't sprint, pace yourself and listen to advice. And I'm telling you guys, like, it's not about who's sprinting and who looks prosperous right now or who looks wealthy right now. You never know, right? You never know what's going on in their life and you never know what the end result's going to be. I can tell you, I see people that I don't hope for them to lose, but I hope that they learned a lesson before they do. And if they don't, I hope it becomes a lesson for others, just like it has to with every little recession or every little bubble pop that happens. And guys, we do have bubbles going on right now. Bitcoin's got his own bubble. Even though it could keep going up, it's at the point where it could pop, especially if any government people get in the way here. We've got the stock market. It's 2.5 times overvalued, guys. 2.5 times overvalued. Now it's starting to try to even itself out, but look at it. I mean, right now the market is saying, wait, we already planned for good news when we reopen. Well, now that we're kind of reopening, what more good news can we have? They already priced in the stock market to be so high, right? They priced it to be super high at this point. So it was priced on based on perfect, you know, basically full economic recovery. What happens now that there's not, you know, or now that there's nothing better than a full economic recovery? The market will have a hard time going up. Even worse, if it doesn't meet expectations or things slow down for any reason, whatever that reason might be, boom, we're going to see a crash because the bubble is there inside the stock market, just like it was in 2000 or 1999 when the stock market went up massively, right? And 1998 wasn't a great year. It actually went down a little bit, but 1999, right? So by 2000, the bubble popped. You know, there is a bubble here. Now you'll see people that seem like they have a lot of money won't have it. Like I mentioned, some of those people that are banking on index funds are saying, hey, I can live on 4%. I'm financially independent. I can retire early. But when that market or that bubble pops, they're not there. It's basically the same equivalent as having a massive leg cramp and then you got to stop the race or find a creative way to kind of get to the end of that race. You know, it's not going to be pretty. And I'm telling you that doing the kind of strategies we talk about, things that always work, creating value within your job, your business, whatever it is, getting that economic engine going to produce income, that is a guaranteed sure way to wealth. Taking that extra money, you put it into places where it is more certain. It's backed by real assets. This is why we talk all about time about doing real estate based type assets, whether you're buying the properties themselves or you're investing in with other people into a fund or into a syndication or whatever it might be to do that. Having a real asset to back it up, not something that's an arbitrary number based on projections, not based on reality, but based on future projections of what might happen in the future. And if it doesn't meet that reality, all of a sudden it tanks. And that's not that does not happen with a real estate market. You know, now you can't have bubbles in the real estate market. And you might think we're in a bubble. It's not even close, guys. Like the real estate market right now is not a big bubble at all. We got low interest rates still, even though they raise them just a teeny bit, still low interest rates to drive the market up. We've got historically low inventory. They can't even build fast enough for the demand, especially now that millennials and even Generation Z and some of those people are starting to enter their adulthood years. And they're saying, you know what? I want to go and buy a property for the first time. You got those people coming out. You got lumber prices going up. Just that alone, the price of building a house drives the price up, which drives the other prices up. Yeah, it's going up in price, but it's not a bubble. A bubble would be if they're overbuilding like they did before, right? And there was appraisal fraud, which now they've solved that issue. But all the overbuilding that's been that had happened then, that's not happening now. We can't build fast enough. And that's why if you try to sell your house, you're going to have multiple bid offers, you know, if you do it right, you're going to have multiple people trying to bid on your house, which will drive up the price anyways. And so that's why we're seeing this just massive appreciation right now. So anyways, guys, like the thing is, I like, you know, as I always say, boring is sexy, right? I like the investments that are predictable, stable cash flow that give me passive income right now. That's why I'm doing the real estate. And yeah, there might be times the stock market will outpace what I'm doing. Even though I get good, consistently high double-digit returns, yeah, it's possible that the market can do more. Bitcoin has already done more, right? You know, there's people who have been gambling in different stuff, but they're gambling. It's not based on real core principles of wealth and prosperity. It's just riding waves. And if you gamble on riding waves, that wave will come crashing down on you. So guys, be, you know, no matter what other people are doing, don't watch them. Just like I do now when I race, like, okay, I'll watch to see if somebody looks like they're in their 40s like me, because I'll try to determine if they're in my category or not. But the truth is that I'm just running my own race. You know, it's just about how can I get to that finish line as quickly as I can, but not killing myself, right? It's getting there, feeling like I gave it my all and gave it my best, but I didn't make it a grueling, miserable experience. Guys, your money can do the same thing, but it requires you to pace yourself. It requires you to follow certain principles and guidelines and making sure that you don't gamble your wealth away. You're not just trying to hit home runs, but you're trying to do it consistently and safely in a way that can ensure that you get the results you want. That is my wish for you guys. That is exactly why I'm teaching what I do. That's why I don't want you following the advice that's out there, because there's everybody telling you that they're savers, but they're actually gamblers. And I don't want you doing that. So guys, I hope you make a wonderful and prosperous week. Follow the principles, be patient, be steady, be consistent, and be wealthy. Make it a great day, guys. We'll see you.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.